Talk Radio.
One line that's
yes.
Lit up.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. So we have both of you on the line. Who's with us tonight?
This is Renee. I believe Ashley is on the line as well.
Okay, Ashley, if you're on the line, if you can push the 1 on your dial so I can recognize your number, push the 1, and then I will open your microphone. Oh, okay, someone just pushed it. Is this Ashley?
This is Ashley. How is everyone this evening?
Beautiful. Welcome, welcome. It is truly an honor to have you both on our show tonight. We thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this evening, despite your busy, busy schedule. I will not delay. I would like for whoever would like to start first, if you would both just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, my name is Renee Walters. I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. I now reside in Clarkston, Georgia, probably 5 minutes outside of Stone Mountain area. My background is in neuromuscular therapy as well as retail management. I currently am a stay-at-home mom, and I also have a special needs parents resource group that I post on a weekly and daily basis.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Okay.
Yes.
All right, our next special guest.
Mm-hmm. This is Ash, and I was just going to say that I am from Philadelphia, and I am living in Stonecrest, Georgia, where I am a realtor and a serial entrepreneur and helping to bring this mission forward with Renee and the Freedom Georgia Initiative.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you both for those wonderful introductions. So if you could tell our listeners how or what inspired the Freedom Georgia Initiative, either one of you, Ashley or Renee.
Certainly. So I think this is my story that I typically tell in interviews now, but we were not looking to just start this initiative. It wasn't necessarily on our radar. But what happened was the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, starting obviously with Breonna Taylor and followed by the murder of George Floyd. We had felt this sense of disempowerment, of disenfranchisement, feeling as if we didn't have the ability to protect our black families, our black sons, our black husbands. And I was in a place that I'm not usually at as a solution-oriented, task-oriented person who knows that I can do all things that I put my mind to. It was just bewildering to me that I had no solutions, no tangible solutions to the systemic racism problem. How can one person solve that? So I was just feeling very down, and Renee had expressed similar sentiments about wanting to see something different for our community, for ourselves, for our families. And we actively, you know, got on the Facebook. We saw people talking about all the different things going on. And, of course, we wanted to put on our thinking caps about how we could participate beyond just protesting and signing petitions. So we were thinking about what we could do. And I had been in therapy with a black woman psychologist working through the fact that we're dealing with racial trauma. And that's why even though we don't know a person, it still hurts, still stings when we see these images in the media. So I worked through that, and I began to get a little more confidence back. And my good friend Renee gave me a call one morning, as we usually do, and we are very good friends. And she was like, "Hey, girl, did you see the viral post of Toomsboro, Georgia for sale, the whole town for sale for $1.7 million. And being a realtor, I just was like, well, let's go. Let's see what they're talking about. Let's go see what's happening. And so as we decided to take the drive to Toomsboro, Georgia, and to be out there at the open house and meet other investors, I took the initiative to make sure that we didn't just look at this $1.7 million piece of property and these parcels that were for sale, but to look at other opportunities and options that were out there in that area and to really get to know what would be able to work for us. And so we went and we looked at a couple of different lots that day, and the very last lot that we saw was the property that we purchased on Long Branch Road in Toombsboro, Georgia. And when we stepped foot on that property, it was as if the ancestors, as if God himself was just like, hey, this is it. This is something for you guys to take hold of and do something with. And we envisioned the visionary. We envisioned what could happen, and we talked amongst ourselves about how we could do this thing. And at that moment, Freedom Georgia Initiative was born.
Wow. Okay. I'm not sure if that was Ashley or Renee talking. I'm sorry. Which one of you was that?
That was Ashley.
That was Ashley. Thank you, Ashley. Renee, would you like to offer anything before we move on to the next question?
I think Ashley pretty much summed it up. Those were both of our feelings. Like, we both have black husbands, black sons, and I started to get a sense of anxiety every time my husband would leave out for work, or when it was time for him to leave work coming home. I would be scared, like, is my husband going to make it home? My son, he's a teenager. One little mistake or one thing could just end his life, that, cause this is what we've been seeing. And so Ashley and I just wanted to put an action plan together, and that's exactly what we did.
All right. Wonderful. So for those in our listening audience who may not be familiar, would you mind explaining to us exactly what the Freedom Georgia Initiative is? Ashley, Renee went first last time.
Well, basically, the Freedom Georgia Initiative was formed while we were sitting on the land. Before we even thought about purchasing it, we were just talking about all the different ideas and different options that we had. And one of the things that someone told us when we first went to the open house, a lot of people were excited that we were coming to the town to see things. So a lady pulled up, and she was just like, welcome, hey, everybody, this is the land of the free. And we was just like, oh, okay, this is nice, because everybody was really welcoming to us. And so once we got to that piece of land, it really felt like the land of the free. It's like the weight was lifted off of our shoulders once we stood on that ground. And Ashley and myself both looked at each other, and we was like, this is it. Like, we're free. Like, we're going to call this thing Freedom Georgia, where you can come and have a safe haven, where you don't have to worry about the Karens of the world or the police hassling you, because we'll have our own. And that's basically what started Freedom Georgia, the Freedom Georgia Initiative.
All right, wonderful. What I found... Well, first let me say to your both of your comments about, you know, having black sons and black fathers, and how while we may not personally know those of our brothers and sisters who have been victims of just blatant police murder, you know, it stings and it hurts, because we're one family, whether we realize it or not. They're our sons, they're our brothers, they're our, you know, family. You know, we may not know them personally, but we're still family. You know, the greatest trick that has ever been played on us is in making us think that we're separate, but we are one in truth. And so with that, you all, in a short amount of time, were able to unite 10 other families with yourselves for a total of 19 families, in purchasing this land in Georgia, almost 100 acres of land. Tell us how you were able to accomplish what many might seem as, what many might see as an overwhelming feat. How were you able to accomplish this in such a short amount of time? Or so quick?
Well, I'll let Renee speak to that, because she speaks about it so excellently.
Okay, Renee.
Well, it wasn't hard at all, as many people may think. We have a very bad stigma that black people can't work together, that we can't accomplish common goals. And I just want to let everybody know that we have to get out of that notion of thinking. We have to change our thinking, because that's the only way things will change. It wasn't hard, like I said, to get the families together. We literally sat down and thought about all the like-minded friends that we had. I said, Ashley, get 10 of your like-minded friends. I'll get 10 of my like-minded friends, and we'll bring them together collectively to see if this is something that they would be interested in. And we did our research first. We did all of the research on the town that we could. We found out just a lot of different things. We went and spoke with a lot of locals. We had a PowerPoint presentation. And we, like, literally dotted our I's and crossed our T's to make sure that we had every bit of information that would want to, that would make people want to say yes to us. Once we got our family together, our friends that we wanted to bring into the initiative, we shared our presentation, we shared our thoughts, and I want to say, like, 10 people signed up that night. And then, of course, we did have people to tell us no, and they needed more information. And then those that did need more information, they came back on the next call that we had, because we were having weekly calls. And even if they didn't say no the last week, that week they were like, okay, we're ready to sign on. We thought about it. This is a great opportunity for all of us. We can create a lot of generational wealth for our families. So this is something that we were definitely interested in. And it went off without a hitch. Like, we did not stumble across many issues that would say, like, well, okay, we don't want to do this, let's stop. It really went smoothly. We were able to close the deal in, I think, 45 days or less.
Wow. That truly is amazing. I have here that part of the process that you all endured was meeting with legal counsel, discussing various opportunities, policies and procedures, discussing laws about acquiring property. And what do I wanted the culture of the group to be? If you would talk to us about the culture that you are creating and what vision that you have, that you all have for creating that culture.
I'll let Ashley answer that, because she speaks so highly about this whole initiative, and she definitely, this is something that we're both passionate about, but she just has a way of explaining it. And even though I'm in the collective, as I listen to her and continue to listen to her, it's like I want to sign up all over again, because it's such a great thing that we're doing.
Thank you, Renee. And to be honest, the culture that we're creating is one that's based on loving your neighbor. And what would it be like if you could choose your neighbors? Imagine that, right? So that's our first foundation, is to lead with love. And by choosing the people who are our family members, our friends, as some of us might say, our day ones, it made sense that we would want to build something that would be beneficial to each other and for our collaboration and our collective. So we are building a culture where we put family first, and where we put our collective, the folks who signed on and who became, we are essentially in covenant with each other. And that's the culture we're creating, one of tolerance, one that loves people, and that through that love we're able to attract others to be generous, to be kind to each other, to be kind and thoughtful of how we treat Mama Nature and how we honor and glorify our true core beliefs and our values. So that truly is our core values and the culture we're creating, something that we can be proud of, something that our ancestors will be proud of, something that our children can have for forever, because they understand the basic principles of collective economics and the importance of attaining assets. What we did was purchase an asset that having it and owning it will allow us to start new businesses and keep our own money circulating in our own community, and what I like to call a hyper-local community and a hyper-local economy, because right now we live in these subdivisions where you might not know your neighbor. You might not know the person who lives down the street, and because you don't know who's living next to you, you don't have the same respect, the same honor of your neighbor. So by creating a community where, no, we know each other, we are bound together. We're bound together financially now. We're bound together as a culture to build something that all of us can be proud of. And we're a democracy. At the end of the day, 19 families, we're all owners. There's no bosses with us. And that's the culture we created when we established our LLC, and we established that LLC to build a homestead for each of these families and a environment that will grow our own food and sustain us so that we don't have to leave our community and that we can barter and we can sell and we can be able to give to others who are in need in the local community and to be able to address the food deserts and the things that are going on in Black communities and really to be a model for others to follow. We are really, really, our culture is a culture of inspiration, making sure that other people see that, yes, this can be done and there is value in it. And if we can really build these kinds of communities where we pick and choose our neighbors and then we do it next to each other. So I've got 96 acres of land with my 20 families. Now let's go get another 80 acres of land next door and build another compound with another 20 families. And then let's put something that we do well on each of these pieces of land so that we then create a regional economy where not only does my 96 acres commune thrive, you're able to have something that you can supply to us. So if we're doing solar power and you're doing hemp and you're doing organic farming and you're doing hydroponics and you're doing aviation and you're doing automobiles that are running on solar power and you're doing broadband access to bring to the community and we're actually building our resources, and that's how we create a culture where we no longer have to be in cahoots with a community that does not serve us. That's the mission. That's the culture, to expand, starting first with us as an example and being a model so that others can do it too, and then we can partner together to take it to the next level.
Wow, amazing, amazing. So and many of us on this call saw the viral post that went out on June 8th of Toomsboro, Georgia, the small town with, you know, the 36 parcels of and 40-plus acres for sale. And so you all went from sending out that post that went viral on Monday, June 8th, to closing on your first, on this 96-acre property, your first property, 96-plus acre property, on Friday, July 24th. Now, and you say that, you know, you were able to accomplish this with relative ease. Can you tell us about some of the challenges that you faced in purchasing the land and gathering those, I'm sorry, I apologize, as well as uniting the families around your idea in purchasing the land?
Well, what was your first question? I want to make sure I understand the answer correctly.
Sure, yes, ma'am.
Oh, how funny was that?
Right, what were some of the challenges that you faced? Yes, ma'am.
It wasn't many challenges at all. I think the hardest parts were getting everybody to get their credit reports and things in a timely fashion, as well as getting the best creditors to say, you know what, I'll put my name on it, I'll be a guarantor. I think that probably was our biggest challenge. And I think we dealt with that probably in like a day or two. It wasn't something that we had them all over for weeks, or somebody would have to wait to decide, like, oh, well, I'll do it, or I didn't want to do it. Like, people were that wasn't a real big issue. So I don't want to say it was a lot of challenges. That probably was our biggest challenge.
Okay, okay, great.
If I had to say something, I would also say that the challenge that you do face is just, when you're dealing with 19 people in any effect, getting documents, getting paperwork, making sure everybody is getting the things necessary to move the transaction along. As a realtor, I'm usually just dealing with a couple, a wife and a husband, or
two partners at the most to get something moved and get the right kind of paperwork and things that the lenders and people are asking for. And when you're dealing with 19 people, I will say that it did have some present some challenges with trying to get people to get things to you in a timely fashion. But I just learned to tell people I needed it sooner than I actually needed it, and we were able to move right along. Now, yes, that is a very simple tactic to use with us because, yeah, we do tend to be a little slow sometimes. We can be slow with getting the necessary things done. So, yeah, I like using that very simple tactic myself sometimes. I know that you all, you all are going to have to exit around 10 minutes to the top of the hour. So in just a moment here, we're going to allow our callers to ask questions. And so before we do that, I know that you all have an event coming up that some of our listeners may want to join in on called the Big Black Campout. Would you talk to us just briefly about that event, that upcoming event?
Sure. So one of the things that we're wanting to do is to just bring black families outdoors to do something new in the midst of this pandemic. We haven't been able to get together. So we're just asking people who are healthy, who are very healthy and not coughing, stay home if you're coughing, to come on out to the Big Black Campout. We're going to be celebrating the acquisition of our land. And not only are we going to be celebrating with music and live performances, we want to highlight black-owned businesses during this weekend, this Labor Day weekend event on our land in Tunesboro, Georgia. It's going to be September 4th, September 5th, and September 6th. It also happens to be my birthday that Saturday. So we're going to enjoy our time together, and we're going to be hosting some workshops, and we're going to be reasoning together about, for those of you who are serious about building black community, about building our own new cities and subdivisions and towns, you need to be there. We're going to have the National African American Gun Association doing a firearms training because we know that defense of ourselves and our cities will be important. We are going to also have environmental energy and renewable energy presentations. We've got volunteers and businesses who are coming in to feature and showcase their businesses and their companies so that we can get the resources that we need and build trust amongst one another and be able to get to know one another, get the vibe. Because, you know, we got to spend time with each other and begin to know, trust, and like each other in order to build and move in this way that we're moving. You can't just decide to go buy land with strangers. You know, you do need to take on major undertakings with a level of trust, and we build that trust by spending time with one another, by engaging in these deep intellectual conversations that can move us forward, and that's what we're hoping to do, along with a little bit of partying and turn up, too. So it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a family-oriented time, so the children can come. There will be stargazing activities because we have such a beautiful night sky. You really don't want to miss it. And if you are someone who has something to offer the community that would like to volunteer, that you would like to volunteer to do a workshop, a seminar, or training, we're going to have Reiki healers and people who are in the healing professionals there as well. And it's going to be amazing, and I'm really excited. We also want to have black vendors, black food vendors selling their wares. It's been a while since we've gotten to come together, and so this Vendor Village is a chance to support the local economy. And when I say that, I don't necessarily even mean Tunesboro, because, I mean, we'll face it, it's like 495 people in Tunesboro. I'm talking about our local economy, those who come, who choose to support what we're doing, this initiative, so that we can support your businesses the way that you have supported ours. So we want you to come. The fees to come are nominal, and if it's really a struggle for you, simply reach out and email us. We'd be happy to accommodate those who do reach out to us because we want the people to be there to experience this, to experience the area. We're 6 minutes away from the Oconee River, so if you have a boat, bring your boat. If you have ATVs, bring your ATVs. You can pitch a tent. You can bring your RVs. It's going to be amazing. The tickets can be purchased at bigblackcampout.eventbrite.com.
Okay, so we have reached the halfway mark, and now, Brother Carlson, we can have, you know, callers who may have questions, ask their questions now. Are there callers waiting in the queue for the call time?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Of course, and it's such an exciting show, and I'm going to take advantage of being the show coordinator to ask the first question. Sisters, I understand that you have 19 investors. And I'm curious, are these investors also going to be required to be residents? Are they going to be, are they required to live there, or can they lease their property out or rent their property out? And if they're required to live there, how do they make their, will they be making their living? Is the town close enough to Atlanta where they'll commute, or has the, have these details been discussed or ironed out yet?
Absolutely. So we are 2.5 hours away from Atlanta, and to be perfectly honest, we're hoping that we have a vision to put a teen cabin retreat center on the land so that we can serve our community, encourage black families and black couples to come out for people to have weddings and family reunions here. So our hope is that we can create a tourist attraction that would generate enough income that will allow our families to begin to leave their mainstream jobs and relocate at the appropriate time to build their retirement homes, their vacation homes, or their homesteads in the area. Our 19 families are investors, and they are landowners. And we're not actually selling at this moment land or the ability for people to build their homes on our land. The people who made the investment with us have that honor. And so we are sharing our land by having some public amenities and access, such as, you know, our recreational centers as well as our conference centers. We do plan to put a lovely clubhouse on the land that will be available for people to enjoy a farm-to-table restaurant that we plan on having, and to come to the farm and volunteer on the farm and get produce and those kinds of things. But as far as the residents go, we expect that our families should be able to begin generating an income in the next 2 to 3 years that will allow them to begin to live on the land, and they can do that at their leisure. We don't have a full time frame. We're not requiring people to live on the land, but we are, you know, people are planning to build retirement homes and vacation homes and teeny homes and things that they could rent out as a way to make additional income and for them to enjoy their retirement years and their vacation time when they want to just get a weekend away from Atlanta. It's 45 minutes away from Macon. It's 1 hour and 30 minutes away from Columbia, Columbus, Georgia, and it's about 3 hours away from Savannah, Georgia. If you are taking a trip to Florida, because Florida is like the number one vacation destination, we're hoping that people will stop by when they're taking that road trip to Florida, take a quick little detour on over to our community at Freedom, Georgia, to spend some time with us, and hopefully that'll generate some income and allow us to eventually create where our families do have residences full-time, and our children can eventually have residences full-time, and we can have businesses and storefronts that the community can come and patronize that are owned by the families that are represented in our collective. And we do plan on potentially leasing commercial space, or, and not necessarily commercial space, but we're doing some mixed use things that are going to be quite interesting when it's all said and done. And we do have some programs that we want to include that will allow apprenticeships and people to go from renting from us to eventually owning their own homes and their own land nearby. Because you can come visit, but you can't stay. The 19 families, they're the ones who get to enjoy homesteads and vacation houses and rentals, and residences
on our land.
Well, thank you very much. What you're doing, what you all are doing, is very inspiring, and I pray for you all's continued success. And our next caller is Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. First of all, Sister Renee and Sister Ashley, wow. Y'all is really doing it so much for being an example. And it seems that you're willing to mentor others into doing such, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that. That's one of the reasons why we are on these talk shows and why we are hosting our seminar. We will be holding on August 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern seminar. And it is 3 hours because we are going to go through the entire process. I'm going to give you all of my real estate expertise as well as my business expertise to tell others exactly how we did this step by step. There will be a Q&A session. There will be an opportunity for you to get the replay link and to connect with other people who join the seminar who are what we are calling serious investors and community developers, because one of the things we have heard more often than not is that people didn't have like-minded people that they were able to do something similar with. So what we want to do is educate people about the process, and then hopefully we can link some folks up together who are like-minded to be able to purchase some parcels of land nearby where we are, where we've already done the research on the county and the land and the neighbors, so that we can move this idea forward of having our own black cities and municipal corporations. And I keep using these terms, and I hope people are catching them and Googling them, because a municipal corporation opens up a lot of opportunities. So those are the things that we will be discussing in our seminar. There's a $75 investment, but it is well worth the price of admission. You will be able to have that replay link and be able to go back over that information, and it's definitely something that anyone who is serious about community building should definitely be in attendance of. And that link is bit.ly/groupinvestingseminar, and you're going to have to put capital letters, capital G, capital I, and capital S when you type in group investing seminar. That's a bit.ly link. Again, you're going to type in bit.ly/groupinvestingseminar, and we're going to give you all of our information, insight, and some community to build with.
Okay, two things. What's the date again?
August 27th. That's on Thursday, August 27th. And, again, there will be a replay, and we may add additional dates depending on the interest that we get.
Okay, Brother Calder, could you have them send you the information so that we can post it?
Okay. I said the Nyambe is in contact with them. So she's the host. She's in contact with them. They have each other's numbers and email addresses. He's our official contact person.
Okay, well, we want to make sure that we keep the people up to speed on what they're doing. Now, when is the big, you said the camp out? When is the camp out?
It's going to be August 20th. Oh, excuse me, wrong date. It's going to be September 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's Labor Day weekend.
Okay, 4th, 5th, and 6th. Okay, great. Now, on average, how long did you all know your friends? From high school, college? I mean, how long have you known your friends of like mine?
Renee, would you like to answer that?
Certainly. Well, Ashley and I, we've known each other for a total of 6 years. A lot of people in our 19, all of the 19 don't know each other. They came off of Ashley and myself, our character, and the things that we've done before, and the way that we take action. And so Ashley got 10 of her like-minded friends. I got 10 of my like-minded friends.
if any of those friends said no, we went to other like-minded friends that were like people that we wanted to bring in but didn't get back to us in time as far as to get on our original Zoom call. They finally got in the Zoom call and was like, okay, we'll join. So a lot of us don't know each other in the collective, but we spent enough time while we were doing this together where we got a sense of, okay, well, I know she's about business because I know my friend isn't going to bring somebody in our collective that hurts us. So a lot of people just joined off the names of each other and different things that we all did. So I want to put out there that we did not all know each other coming in. Ashley and myself were friends. We have mutual friends, but for the most part, a lot of us were complete strangers with each other.
Okay, very, very interesting. Have you ever heard of Mondragon in Spain, the Mondragon Cooperative Corporation? You might want to study it.
No, I'm not familiar.
Huh? It's called Mondragon. Mondragon is in Spain, and they have a whole, really a sub-region in Spain where everything is owned by the cooperative. They have, you know, manufacturing, produce refrigerators and all that. But they really have a complete cooperative corporation, basically region. So you might want to study that.
Thank you.
Okay?
That is very, very helpful. We appreciate all of those types of resources. Thank you so much, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. And y'all keep it up. We're going to keep up with you. We're not going to catch up with you, but we're going to keep up with you.
Thank you very much, and please do so by just visiting our website at www.freedomgeorgia.com. If you'd like to be on our emailing address, you can shoot us an email or a comment there, and we'll be sure to include you on upcoming releases. And, of course, you can also follow our Facebook page at the Freedom Georgia Initiative as well.
Thank you very much. Peace.
Thank you.
Do we have any more callers for the call phone?
We most certainly do.
Caller with the last four digits, 2757. What's your name and where are you calling from? Oh, okay. They got mic shy, so they're no longer on. Okay, so that's it for the callers for now.
Okay. Sister Renee and Sister Ashley, for those that might not have caught all of the information that you just shared, can they also find the information about upcoming events and your seminar on your social media pages?
Absolutely, yes. So if you go to the Freedom Georgia Initiative, if you just even leave a comment on any of the posts or inbox us, we are really good about getting people the links and things right back to them. But yes, the seminar is actually going to be found on my realtor page, because as a realtor, I'm hosting the seminar along with Renee. And so you can find the seminar at the bit.ly link I provided. And if you just go through comments, you can find it, or you can reach out to us, or you can go to Ashley Scott KW at facebook.com/AshleyScottKW, and there is a link to the upcoming event right there on the top of the page.
Okay, great. Thank you. And for our listeners, what Dr. Ridley just mentioned about Mondragon, find that if you Google M-O-N, then Dragon, D-R-A-G-O-N. Maybe Dr. Ridley can confirm this, but what came up for me was Mondragon Corporation, and then it has a little bit of information of how it started in 1956 and things like that. So I think that's what he's talking about. Am I correct, Dr. Ridley?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's it.
Awesome. This is great. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right. So,
Someone sent me a message asking how they could talk. Could you tell people who might not be familiar with your platform how they could request to speak and ask a question, please?
Just the one. If they press the one on the dial, it lights my board. and I can select their line.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
Somebody just did. All right. Caller with the last four digits, 8484. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello. My name is Dana, and I'm calling from Marietta here in Georgia. And I had a chance to visit Queensboro, the downtown area, and I have been obsessed with the idea of a Black Wall Street from the moment I got there. I am so, when I was on my Facebook, I think I was on Facebook, one of the groups I am on, and I read the story of what you guys did, the 19 families, and there was the weirdest reaction that I had. I was very happy that you guys did that, but I was sad because I wanted to thrill for myself. But I just think it's so awesome what you guys have done. So I reached out to, I'm nervous, so I forgot your name. I reached out to the realtor, and she inboxed me back and let me know that the part that I was talking about, you guys didn't buy. So there's still an adept hope for me. But what my question is, in your opinion, would a crowdfunding be okay? I understand how you guys went and got 19 people or investors to do this, but do you think that crowdfunding would be a successful way in getting acquiring land?
Question, because we struggle with whether or not we wanted to even do our GoFundMe fundraiser before we decided to do it, because we saw so many people who had initiated fundraisers to purchase the $1.7 million town in Toonsboro, and they were, unfortunately unsuccessful, and I believe that was the case because it was such a daunting number. When it's something that seems unfeasible to people and unrealistic, other people don't always take the time to make the small donation because they don't feel as though it will go as far. And so what I find is if you have your initial people together and you bust a move, then you can see more traction, because even with the press that we've gotten, we have been able to raise over $3,000, but we have an $88,000 goal, and it's taken us, a few days and several press outlets to even begin to see traction with our GoFundMe. So I would definitely suggest taking the time and doing the footwork to put your vision together. Tell people about it, because you got to open your mouth first and do some work and get some nose. And crowdfunding, while it seems simple, is not as easy task. It takes a lot of marketing. It takes a lot of having the right people helping to push it, and a whole lot of luck in some cases, because even with the responses that we have had, and we've had overwhelming response in the midst of a pandemic and people who are having economic insecurity, not sure whether or not they're going to get to go back to work, people who have started work again, or people who have not started work again in some cases. So it's hard to really depend on a crowdfunding campaign unless you have some pockets of people. Like for myself, I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. I'm a member of the Historically Black Colleges and Universities Network. I'm an activist. I'm quite active in my local community here in Stonecrest, Georgia, and we still have only raised $3,100. So I would suggest that you get busy first with working with people you know and not doing it by yourself, because in order to crowdfund, you got to have a crowd. So you're going to need to get eyeballs on the mission, and I think that it would behoove you to write the vision, make it plain, connect with people who have strong resumes and strong professional backgrounds and expertise, and then go ahead and go after venture capitalism partners, or go after a loan from a black bank or credit union. That would be your best form of action, in my opinion.
Okay. I don't know why I'm so emotional, because I really want to do this. I really do want to do this. I'm very excited about what you guys have done. I definitely want to come and bring my children to the camp out. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to do this RV. But
you don't have to have an RV. You can tent. You can get a camper. The smaller campers are easy to hook up to a pickup truck or to an SUV even with a hitch. So don't feel like you have to have an RV. Don't have to have a camper. You can bring a pitch a tent, honey, because that's what we've been doing for the last 3 weekends, okay? And we've had a wonderful time.
I can imagine. And I can think
that.
This is so good.
Well, thank you very much for that call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. And I just remembered the Nyamba said sisters had limited time. So was there any closing statements that you wanted to say?
Renee, I would just close with, I think I say this in every interview, you have to change your mindset in order for you to achieve something as big. I know it's a bad stigma of people can't work, black people can't work together collectively. Well, we've definitely shown that it can be done. So we just want you to, we just encourage everybody to change their mindsets and open up to the opportunities of dealing with strangers that are like-minded, because that is exactly what we did, and we pulled together, pulled our resources together, and we got this land, and we did it, and we put on our clothes the same way you guys do. So if we did it, you can do it, and we are willing to help and teach you guys how to. So please check out our seminar, come to the Big Black Camp Out. We want to meet everybody, and we just want to make sure that we are showing that this can be done. We want to be the model for the nation.
I can't say anything other than that. Y'all go to our GoFundMe and give. If you have $8 to give, we would appreciate it. Every dollar does help us to make the land more hospitable, and God is good. I want to share the story before I go, because I just think that when you take a step, everything will work out, because we're not very wealthy people by any means. We just knew that if we built it, they would come, and we decided that we wanted to have this event, and we hadn't sold a ticket, but we knew people would want to come, and we put up a GoFundMe, and we didn't know if we would raise a dime, and we raised the exact amount in the time frame that we needed to be able to clear the land and pit the road in and make it hospitable for our guests to be able to enjoy the camp out, and it turned out to be the exact amount of money that we raised in the time that we raised it. So when you move, God moves just like that. So I want to encourage you all to believe that good things can work out if you are righteous and you do things in the right way, that things will always come together. So take a chance and do this. If it is in your heart and it is your vision to do it, write the vision, make it plain, take action, collaborate, and partner with people who have experience, expertise, and the like-mindedness to build community and to do it with love. Okay, guys? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming on to the show. I understand that you all have another interview. Did you want to share? Maybe we all can come over there and listen.
Yeah, so it's a Zoom link. I hate that we can't necessarily, you know, those Zoom links. I can post it, or I can definitely have Kenya, our PR agent. And thank you to Kenya. She's been an exceptional PR agent for us.
I'm sure she will be able to get the Zoom link over to you all, and you can share it out to your network, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you both again.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome.
Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go. Let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma's bad, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel. Not just my fifth tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my new force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Genesis.
Take me to a dark place.
Although you're superior over me,
yeah,
we talk to each other in a friendship way. Then I don't know when you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. That size work into riches, where the ghosts are shouted on me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers are from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Take me to a dozen.
Down the Bible, they went down the...